is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And seeing that as well, being that pivotal importance in our lives as individuals and how we ought to operate and be able to work and minister in our lives. Those two things together then to motivate us to impact the lives of people in our world. Here locally, our neighbors and friends, those who live in our area, who work with us, who live with us, those who maybe are in our nation or we have acquaintance with, but they live somewhat closer than those who are worldwide, being able to pray in those situations as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great God, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. We come to you again today recognizing that you and you alone are God. Father, that you in every situation, even when we do not know about it, you know fully. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. And so we lift those situations to you, God. Just pray for wholeness and healing. We pray for wholeness in body and in emotions and spiritual lives. Father, we give you thanks for your direction and your wisdom. God, we right now open our hearts and our minds to you. We open ourselves to your leading and your direction. Father, speak today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. In looking at those things then, the Great Commission and the Greatest Commandment, in our lives and our hearts then, we ought to be motivated to sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. That great commission of go and preach the gospel to all nations. That's something that we are able to do. That's something that we ought to be involved in with that desire of love, with that love that we have for others to be able to impact their lives. We ended the morning, and maybe I should have saved it for this week, in hindsight, but we ended the morning looking at Isaiah chapter 58 last week. Let's start there today. Isaiah chapter 58. Again, verses that as we look at them and see them and are able to apply them into our lives, ought to be motivating us towards some form of action. Isaiah chapter 58. We'll start in verse 6. God begins by saying, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen?" And he's coming off the first couple of verses. He talks about the fast that the individuals held, that the people of Israel held. That fast of, as long as I look right and do the right things, and as long as other people think that I'm doing right spiritually, then everything's okay. And so I'll fast, I'll not eat. In fact, not only will I not eat, but I'll also make myself look even more like I'm not eating. I'll wear baggier clothes and make my face look thinner by putting some ashes here, maybe not shower for a couple of days to show the misery of fasting. And God says, fasting, stop, it doesn't have anything to do with that. My desire for you, my heart for you, doesn't have anything to do with what other people think about what you're doing, what other people think about your own spiritual walk. God says, but this is the fast I desire. This is the heart that I desire for my people. He says of the second part of verse 6, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from him, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. You see, God has God places an importance on helping those in need. He places an importance on helping those in need, filling them physically and filling them spiritually. Amen? As we look at the Great Commission, as we look at the greatest commandment, as we look at verses like this, would you agree that God's desire is that those in need would be filled, ultimately with the good news of Jesus Christ? So he says, go and make disciples. And he goes on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Ultimately, God's desire is that all men would come to salvation. Amen? Are we together on this one? That's ultimately God's desire, that those in need, what greater need is there than Jesus Christ? That those in need, those needs would be met. Spiritually, we then ought to have that same heart. That's the heart God wants for us to have. To have a heart that desires that all would know Jesus Christ. To be able to meet those spiritual needs. But also to meet the physical needs that there are as well. To meet the physical needs that there are within our lives. Within the lives of those around us. Within the lives of those in other parts of the world even. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start in verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I want us to consider the physical needs of those in our world. The physical need of those who are both around us, who are close to us. The physical needs of those who are in our world, even far away. It says in verse 31 of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now, when looking at this morning, for the church, this isn't a teaching about our judgment of salvation. This isn't a teaching of our judgment of salvation as a church, because we are judged by the blood of Jesus Christ and our confession and acceptance of Him as Lord. Amen? So we're not going to look at this morning and say the only way for you to have salvation is if you do these things. We have salvation through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. But we learn in this teaching the heart that God desires of all of mankind. The heart that God desires of all of mankind. It's a heart which gives to those who have need. It's a heart that feeds the hungry. It's a heart that gives water, something to drink for those who are thirsty. It's a heart that clothes those who are naked. It's a heart that visits those who are sick and in prison. This shows us and gives us that example, that desire that God has for your heart and mine. That desire that God has for you and I to make an impact in our world. We didn't talk too much about it, but we see that verse about injustice from Isaiah 58, to loose the chains of injustice or to break the chains of injustice. We live in a world of great need. We live in a world of great need. You may have received an email at some point in the past something maybe titled Village of 100 or World Village or Miniature Earth. You ever see something like that? It talks about if the 6.6 billion people in the earth were shrunk down to 100 people, here is about what it would look like. Okay? The email that you have received, if you've received one, is probably incorrect with the figures and numbers that are there. The information is a forwarded email from about 1992 or thereabouts, and a lot of things have changed since 1992. I'm gonna read some things from a more updated, current type information here. This is not necessarily completely true, but it gives a scope of about the trend that we have within our world today. So if the world were the size of a village of 100, this is what it would look like. There would be 61 Asians, 13 Africans, 12 Europeans, 8 North Americans, 5 South Americans or the Caribbean, and 1 from Oceania. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'm going to assume maybe Australia and people who live in ocean islands. Is that going to be close enough? That'll work this morning? Okay. 50 of that 100 would be females. 50 would be males. 47 would live in an urban area. 33 would be Christians. 18 Muslim. 16 would be non-religious. 14 would be Hindus, 6 would be Buddhists, and 13 would practice other religions. 43 would not have appropriate sanitation as far as waste water and whatnot. 18 would not have improved water source. 13 would be hungry and malnourished. 14 would not be able to read. 7 would be educated at a secondary level. 7. 12 would own a computer, and 3 would have access to the internet. 1 of the adults would have AIDS. 30 would have a bank account. 6 would own 59% of the entire wealth of the village. 18 would live on $1 or less a day, U.S., and 53 would live on $2 or less a day. That's the reality of our world. I mean, that's the reality of the world, and where maybe some of those figures are slightly off, they're fairly accurate. And they give us a scope and an understanding of realistically where you and I are. 30 have bank accounts. 30% of our world has bank accounts. 53% of our world live on about $2 US a day. What do you do with $2 a day? That's a cup of coffee. $2 a day is blow money. I mean, it's so insignificant. $2 a day is practically dropped on the ground as loose change. But that's the reality of where we are, where you and I are in the nation in which we live and in the place in which we live. And where others who do not live here, where they are in their lives. We see the word talk about us feeding the hungry and providing water for the poor. We see the world talk about giving clothes to those who have need. And we are a part of a culture. You and I are in a position as individuals who are greatly blessed. And I know it doesn't always feel that way. I know, and I've talked before about when we compare ourselves, we usually compare up. We look at those who have, we look at the 6 who own 59% of the entire wealth of the world. We look at that 6% and say, well, I'm nothing like that.
And rarely do we look at the 75% who, there was another figure that I had seen. If you put your clothes in a closet, sleep on a bed, put your food in a refrigerator and have a house over you, you're among 25%. We are tremendously blessed. We are tremendously blessed. And all it takes sometimes is perspective to realize that. We can watch, I'm going to get personal, we can watch the stock market every single day and drive ourselves nuts with what's happening to our 401ks. Amen? We can watch it every day, and every day less, what, two in the last 14, every day be frustrated with how things went down. We're tremendously blessed. We're fantastically blessed. And God's desire is that we would have a heart for those in need. His desire is that we would have a heart for those in need. Let's go back to the Word. Go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. We're going to start right in verse 1. Psalm 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever." Psalm 146, verse 7. "He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." You see in this psalm, those different groups of individuals or characteristics of individuals, the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, those who are bowed down, the alien, the fatherless, the widow. God loves the underdog. God loves the underdog. God loves those who are in need. And where he doesn't make it a habit of setting before the hungry a great banquet table, he has a heart and a desire for them. And his desire is for us to have a heart and a desire for them as well. For us to be able to do the things that we can to be able to help him in his mission, in his goal, to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to loose the chains of injustice, to be able to make an impact on the lives of those in our world for him. He desires for your heart to long for those people who are in need, for your heart to reach out to them, for your heart to be in the same place as his heart, to root for the underdog and go beyond rooting for them and help become part of the solution, help become part of those who are involved in action. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Is Jesus a great example for you? I hope so. Yes, I hope so, certainly.
Right? Jesus is an example for us. We can look to his life. We can look to who he is. We can look to the things that he was about and be about those things as well. Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to start right in verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Jesus, when he had gone into the temple and it was his turn to read, and he was given a set passage that he was going to read that morning. He didn't go into the temple and okay, who wants to read today, and what are you going to read? It was a very set, strict type situation. And so he knew months in advance, because he's on the schedule, he knew when he was going to be reading the Word of God, and he knew what he was going to be reading, because they took the scroll and they opened it up and they read this. And then they closed it up, and then the next week they opened it up and they read the next thing, and then they closed it up. Because if you've got a scroll and 1 week you're looking in Genesis and then you're going to Isaiah, it takes a while, doesn't it? You see, and so they read very purposefully. When it was Jesus' turn to read from the scroll, he got up and he read those verses. And he says, "This has been fulfilled today in your hearing." You see, this is talking about Jesus Christ. His goal, his mission, his purpose was the same as his Father's, and that was to do these things, to preach good news to the poor, sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. That was what he knew he was about. And if he is your example and he is my example, then that's what we need to be about as well. That we need to be about that purpose. That we need to be about that in our lives. That we need to be able to look at the greatest command to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and be able to know and recognize and understand that that's something that we are able to do and that we can do. Let's put it in perspective again. Nicole, can you put some of those pictures up? Just start at the first one. This is another email forward, which I never received as an email, and there wasn't a lot of explanation to it, so I had to dig quite a bit. I had received the pictures from a class at family camp this past year. Family camp's really good. You should think about going, or at least next. Okay, I won't plug that at this point. It's in the bulletin. These are photos that were taken by a photographer, Peter Menzel, and it's from a book, Hungry Planet. I found these on Time, www.time.com. This first photo is a family from Germany, and they've got food down in front of them. The idea behind these photos is that this food would be 1 week's groceries for this family. They spent, and all of this is U.S. equivalent, they spent $500, 7 cents on their groceries. Now, I'm not going to say that this is necessarily a very typical thing, but this is a photo taken of their groceries, and they apparently eat a lot. $500. Go to the next one. This is a family from the United States, one of the Carolinas. $341.98. Now, you might look at it and say, there's no way you get to $341. Well, you got two pizzas. You have Burger King here, McDonald's. I think there's a Taco Bell in here somewhere I've seen. I think this is a KFC. Here is some takeout Chinese. It doesn't take long with that kind of stuff to get to $300.41. Right? Next one. Japan, $317.25. This one is from Italy, $211. This is $121.45. Okay, you'll start to notice some trends as you watch it. And one of those is sometimes that you'll see the families are starting to get bigger and bigger, and the dollar amounts are going down. This one is from China, $155.06. Here we have Egypt. Again, you'll notice the larger family, $68.53. This one's from Mongolia, for a second, $40.02. One of the other trends that you'll see as well is you go from more and more pre-prepared, bagged, boxed food to a lot more fresh food here. Now, there's certainly, you know, there's a few things here and there's a couple of bottles of juice or something here, but you're starting to see a lot more fresh food as well. And with the last one, you saw that, and Japan had that one as well. Going to the next one. This is a family from Ecuador, $31.55. Almost all fresh food, and also get a feel for what the living space is like as well. You know, you'll notice that with the houses as well. Things start to change a little bit in this trend. This one is from Bhutan, $5.03. And finally, this is a refugee family. They were Sudanese, and this is actually in a refugee camp in Chad, $1.23. This is the reality of our world. This is the reality of our world, of where we are, of where you and I spend money on food, and where they spend money on food. You can go back to a stat slide, Nicole. Thanks. We're in a position where we have great abundance. Even in difficult times, we have great abundance. When times are hard for us, they're very different than when times are hard for refugees, for families who were removed from Darfur because of the issues that they're dealing with. And that's one place of many where people are removed from their homes because of one reason or another. Civil unrest is the norm in a lot of places. Malnutrition and hunger and clean water is the standard. There are a lot of pictures on the internet, and my intent is not to assault you graphically with how bad things are. But the truth of the matter is, we are really, really blessed. We are really, really blessed. And when we can lose that perspective when life becomes all about me. Remember last week I talked about us laying on the comfy couch. When that is our life, when life is all about me, it can become bleak to us because it seems like things are so bad. When we realize and recognize or recognize and admit that our world and different parts of it are a lot different than what we face today, we can see and understand we are greatly, tremendously blessed. We certainly face times of difficulty in our lives physically. We certainly do. I'm not attempting to discredit that. But at the same time, when we recognize the need that is ongoing and standard in the lives of many individuals, we'll begin to see some of that perspective that we are tremendously blessed. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. That's fine. In Romans chapter 15, verse 26. Paul writes this and he says, "For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." Paul makes a special note that there are churches in some areas of the known world at the time who are making purposeful contributions to believers in other areas of the world at the time, to Jerusalem. Paul makes a special note to mention this. This is Macedonia to Jerusalem. Anymore is practically around the corner. You know, going from Greece to Israel, anymore is almost around the corner. I mean, it's not something you're going to get in the car and be there in an hour, but it's pretty close respectively. But at the time, when you're walking everywhere, it's a long way away. You see, they had an understanding of world missions. They had an understanding of being able to help those in need, even in different parts of the world. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about just the different ministries that the Lord had called him to, compared to the ministry that he had called, say, Peter to. In Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews." So they had an agreement that Paul and Barnabas would go to the Gentiles, that they would preach, that they would minister, that they would go and do that, and Peter and James and John would minister to the Jews, and that's what God had called them to. They had agreed that this is what we're going to do, this is the ministry God's called us to, and so we're going to advance the truth of Jesus Christ in this area. Now look at verse 10. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. So Peter and James and John, they say, you have our blessing, go to the Gentiles, you and Barnabas, go to the Gentiles and minister. The only thing that we ask is that you'll remember the poor. You see, they had that same heart that God desired them to have. They had that heart that God has to be able to love and minister to those who are in need. Paul goes on to say, "The very thing I was eager to do." They asked one thing, and that's that I remember the poor. And that was the very thing I was eager to do. You see, Paul also had that same heart for those in need. He also had that same desire to help those who were in need. The only thing they asked was that we remember the poor, and that was the very thing that I was eager to do. In your bulletin, you have a half-page piece of paper with a number of websites that are listed. Even though only 3% of the world's population have internet connection, I'm pretty sure that percentage is higher among us. That'd be pretty accurate? Probably more than 3% of us have internet connection. Again, having that perspective, I think all of us have access to a website connection. Whether it's in our home or in the library down the street, we all have access one way or another. This is a very non-comprehensive list of a few websites that are able to connect you with needs in our world. I could have filled this up with about 8-point font listing one after another because there are thousands of websites out there. I would encourage you as you become involved in different ministries that you do some research to know and understand and be able to research enough to hook up with a reputable website. There are, unfortunately, because money is involved, there are some that aren't as positive. And it looks good, but maybe the needs aren't being met as well as others.
The first one listed is just general mission area. General mission areas. It's actually the Church of God missions website, the mission agencies in different places that we as a Church of God have current missions or churches within the Church of God General Conference within the world. There's one listed for really multiple areas of help. World Vision is a fantastic organization that I've worked with different things. 30-hour famine is from World Vision. They do a number of different things. It's hard to say that they focus in one area because they minister in a lot of different areas, but also a very good website. Compassion.com is one that does a lot with needs of children and has a specific area for children with AIDS. There are a few different websites. There are multiple websites that are word oriented. So sharing that gospel, getting the word out into the hands of different people. A couple I listed are Faith Comes by Hearing. Remember the DVD or the CDs that we had gotten. The time. There's one out on the information table. You can see it. You have the time. You've got the time. Something like that. That's from Faith Comes by Hearing, and so when we had raised money for that, they were translating the word into a different language, not putting it in print because they know many of the people that they're giving the Bibles to aren't able to read, but they're doing it vocally, and so they this different area would receive the word in a digital format with a player that's able to just proclaim the word. They call it the proclaimer. You just turn it on and the thing goes. Some are battery powered and some are solar powered. So really, it meets a lot of needs. The other one is the Gideons. I've got one listed for food, freerice.com. If you haven't visited there, it's an interesting one to go to. Human trafficking, which we didn't talk about too much. We didn't talk about it at all today. But the amount of human trafficking that is still happening today, whether it be through slavery or prostitution, is appalling. And it kills me. It just hurts my heart that happens. But there's a huge market for it, and one of the many websites is stopthetraffic.org, traffic just with a K. You've got it here. And then again, many water needs in our world. I could have shown you too many pictures of people that get their water from the same place where the sewage drains into, and they collect it through sheets to get the bugs and stuff out of it. It's astounding. Our water here is horrible. You ever have a drink out of the water? It's actually not as bad now as it was about 6 months ago. We made some changes to the water system, and it tastes a little bit better. It's awful. It smells like yuck and tastes like yuck. We cannot complain about that water. We cannot. It's not too bad. It's gotten better. We cannot complain about that water. Water.cc is one of the many websites. If you remember the video that we had shown the last Sunday of Advent, just before Christmas, adventconspiracy.com, it was trying to raise awareness of the water needs and what we can do by slimming down our own Christmas purchases and being able to help out. Water.cc is a website that they're linked in together. There are many more. There are many more because the need in our world is great. But I didn't want you to have an excuse to say, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to start. The need is great in our world. And God's desire is for us to have a heart for people in need. And so there are some things that you and I are able to do. We can pray. And that prayer has a great impact. We can pray for some of these organizations and others that you are already aware of. Be able to pray for those situations, pray for those organizations to be blessed and be able to outreach and make good decisions in what they do. We can give. We can give. I understand that times are tough, but again, gaining some perspective to realize that the needs are greater in other parts of the world than they are in my household can change my perspective a bit. And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to be able to make a real impact in the lives of others. And thirdly, we can raise awareness. We can become aware of these issues ourselves through our own study and our own research and linking up with other people who are involved in it and help them raise awareness within our church, within our community, within our realm of impact, whether it be at work or in things that our kids are involved in. We can raise awareness to be able to help and support and encourage feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, loosing the chains of the oppressed. You and I are able to do something about it. But it takes us deciding to do something about it. We've got to get up and do something. So pray. Pray about it. Pray about these things. Pray that the Lord would lead you and move your heart maybe to a specific area or a specific place in which you are able to get involved. I'd encourage you to contribute, whether it be through sponsoring a child or buying a goat for somebody else for Christmas. I didn't even know that you could do that until this past year. You can buy a goat for somebody else and then give that to you. In the name of you, I bought a goat and somebody else is blessed by it. Do something. And help to raise awareness about the needs that there are in our world. I'm not going to encourage you to hit anybody, but if somebody starts complaining about the stock market going down, and the Lord has really put it on your heart how some people are going without clean water, don't hit them, but raise awareness in their mind, in their eyes. Change that, help change that perspective for them. We can make a difference in our lives. We can make a difference in our world. I'm not saying that you're going to start today and tomorrow the whole world's going to be changed, but you can make a great impact. And if you don't do anything, you're not going to. I can promise you that. If you don't do anything, you're not going to. But we can do something. We can help to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty. We can help the oppressed, the naked, those in need. We can help, but we need to decide to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the heart that you have for those in need. Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ and his regular helping with those in need. Father, we put your word into our hearts. And we offer ourselves to your leading and to your direction. God, change our hearts, change our action. Help us to make an impact in our world. God, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name.